Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Hot and steamy again out there. August 2nd, this is what we expect. And we've got hot summer practices. The Yankees and Mets getting back into it. Last night we saw our first live NFL preseason football, and that's where we opened up this morning. You can always go back on the free Odyssey app, use the rewind feature, or also use the podcast feature to listen. And that new kickoff rule was jarring to me. It was the first time I ever put on an NFL football game and said, I don't think I'm watching an NFL football game. And with the XFL and some of the examples that I had seen prior to seeing it in a game, I just never took it seriously until last night. So it is the biggest rule change, the most crazy rule change I've ever seen in professional team sports. The closest thing was the ghost runner on second base for baseball, but this was even more jarring and shocking. And it's going to be interesting to see it play out with this landing zone and how teams use it strategically. And, you know, maybe it's just a one-year thing and they get rid of it. But it just makes me think, if they're doing this much of a dramatic shift for player safety when it comes to kickoffs, what else is coming down the pike in the next 3, 4, 5 years for the NFL to cover their ass when it comes to injuries?
I think we've seen a lot of stuff that has happened over the last 15 years in particular to try to promote player safety, whether it be trying to get the helmet out of the game where defenders cannot lead with the helmet, protecting the quarterback, protecting the legs, protecting the hip drop from the hip drop tackle, you name it. They look at these things. And you have to understand, they watch every single game. They watch every single play. And then the coaches get together with the NFL folks and they talk about different things that they see happening on the field and trends that they see happening on the field. And then they get the trainers and the doctors involved. They get the neurologists involved, and they're all trying to, you know, keep the players upright, keep the players on the field. We all realize just how difficult and how hard it is to play the game. We know how physical it is, and anybody who's ever stood on the sideline, I don't care whether it's this particular play that you're talking about now or just some of the new rules that have been instituted over the years to protect the players from the chop block to the hip drop tackle to the quarterback's hits to the head, you name it. They've gone through it, and they've made sure that they're doing it for the right reasons. Now, I believe that they want more offense, just like baseball wants more offense, like hockey wants more offense, just like basketball wants more three-pointers, because that's what the fans are all about. So there is a safety aspect to it, but there's also keeping this play available as opposed to having maybe one or two returns a game. Maybe we're going to have 7 or 8 returns a game now.
Right, but the only reason you weren't having those returns is because you changed the kickoff rule again to begin with because of player safety. So it's all based off of player safety.
I mean, well, they also moved the kicker up too, remember. So, yeah. And this way the kicker would kick it out of the end zone. And they still can kick it out of the end zone, by the way.
Yeah.
And the ball would be put on the 30. If the ball does not land in the landing zone, if it's short of it, I
goes
guess
to the 40.
It looks like it goes to the 40. So I'm assuming that is including squib kicks. You know, like sometimes late in games, you don't want to kick it off because you don't want to risk a kickoff. You would end up having your kicker kick it through the end zone, I would imagine.
Yeah. And to me, that's where we're going to see a ton of that. Like you're talking about all these returns we're going to see. I mean, if a team gets good at returning in this weird new format, the kicker's just got to kick it out of the end zone and put it on the 30. I mean, it was the 25 before that. We're talking 5 yards.
Yeah, it's a big deal now, and there'll be a new
set. Make it the 40, and then maybe you get some more returns.
Yeah, but there's going to be now a new set of analytics that are going to start to develop, and starting with the ball in the 30-yard. Well, I'm sure they already know these things. And I also think we're going to see a ton of teams, again, as this thing continues to grow and evolve, a ton of teams going for it on fourth down again.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been going on for the last number of years. And also the two-point conversions, when you don't expect them to make the two-point conversions, it's just all of that stuff is going to continue. But that's fine. That's numbers. That's nothing different to me in watching the game. It's just a different strategy. I mean, this is different.
And I these other things too that you mentioned, like I would always fight the callers, and you know, they get rid of this, getting rid of that, and even defensive players, like, all right, I can't hit somebody in the head, I can't hit somebody in the knees, and my target area, it's impossible,
defenseless receiver,
right? It's impossible to hit one of these guys. I mean, it's going to come down to the point with, like, you know, someone gets their ribs broken or whatever, bruised organ, getting hit in the middle, then of their body. Then the NFL is going to be like, you know what? Receiver goes over the middle. All you have to do is two-hand touch him, and he stops right there. I wouldn't be surprised after what I saw last night. I wouldn't be. You wrap him up, it's fine. We'll blow the whistle.
And by the way, it's not just defensive players that inflict injury on offensive players. It's also offensive players with cracked backs and cut blocks and things of that nature that have all been legislated and ruled out of the game as we knew it back when I played.
Sure.
All of that stuff. And, you know, and I know your favorite player, John Randall, he was told that you could dive at the quarterback's knees.
Yeah.
And he did.
Mm.
Now, you can't do that today.
No, but you could back then. It was allowed.
Exactly.
It wasn't against the rules.
I didn't say it was, but it was a cheap shot. So that's why that's why the old chop block came instituted on the same in the same game.
Yeah. You know, I tell that story a lot, just like you tell the story of Jerry Recco almost dying on a golf course in front of his sons and father on Father's Day.
It's a big deal.
When he hit the tree with the golf ball and it bounced back at him in the face.
Yes.
I tell the story of that John Randall interview many times because it really truly is incredible from my perspective, because I didn't know you hated John Randall. And I see him walking around in Atlanta at the convention center. It was the 2019 football season. It was February of 2020, I think.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was remarkable. I know it couldn't have been, because the 2020 one was, it must have been the 18 football season.
And the 19, going into the Super Bowl in 19. I don't remember which year it was. Here's the thing. I don't hate him as a person.
Yeah.
I hated him as a player.
Okay. Yeah, it was 2019.
You understand what I'm saying? There's a real difference.
And it was also the defensive coordinator or whatever. So, you know, I see John Randall walking through. And I say, oh, my God, Al, you got to go up and get John Randall. You have to get him. He's my favorite player. I mean, when John Randall signed my jersey at Vikings training camp in Mankato when I was 18 years old, I immediately took it off and had it framed, hung it on my wall. That's the guy, Hall of Famer John Randall. And he goes over and says, hey, your biggest fan's over here. Comes down, sits down. Two of you don't even look at each other. And I just said, uh-oh, what's going on here? And I am now sitting in the middle of you, who is my radio partner and colleague.
Yes.
Who I must have his back. And my favorite football player of all time to my left, thinking, wow, what an amazing dream come true for me. All the hard work has paid off. Little did I know it was the most awkward 15 minutes until the Aaron Rodgers interview happened a number of years later.
Which was worse.
Which was worse.
Yes.
But it was awkward, and I just sat in between as you guys volleyed back and forth, and he called you sensitive, stop being a baby, stop complaining, he said you were a dirty player. It was just, it was intense. And
I don't know a defensive player that wasn't a dirty player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just the mindset. Like, you're trying to inflict as much pain as you possibly can on the person you're going after. And I don't know if you... Did you play both ways in high school?
Yes, we had to.
Right. So the defensive coaches would talk to you differently than the offensive coaches would talk to you, right?
Yeah, of course.
At the maniacs.
Yeah.
And you got all the crazies on the other side of the ball.
Damn right.
Unless, of course, you have a couple crazy offensive linemen. I mean, but they're the crazies on the other side. They're the ones that are hurling themselves at people.
You have to have a different mentality to be a defensive player.
100% you do.
Yeah.
And so I understand that edge, because I wanted the defenses that I played with to be that way.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted them all to be like the Bears of 85 or the Ravens of 2000. You know, I guess some of the great 49ers and Steelers defensive teams and Dallas defensive teams. You want those guys to be on edge all the time, without question.
Yeah. And at the end of that interview, I got a picture with John that I cherish. You turned away and walked off the stage. No handshake after the interview. Man, I tell you.
It's going to be me and John Renner were like those boxers yesterday.
no handshake
after the fight.
No handshake is right. I'm looking at the Olympics here.
Yes.
You've been to Paris?
I have been.
Is the Eiffel Tower one of those things you're like, man, I'm so glad that I saw that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, yeah.
But it's like, is that like a bucket list thing? Rami's shaking his head. You've been to Paris, Rami?
Yeah, it's overrated.
It's a tourist trap. It's like, I would say it's, you know, like the Statue of Liberty here.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Again, you know, maybe for us who live here, yes. And, you know, I didn't realize you were such worldly explorer. But it is kind of amazing that there it is. It's a beautiful landmark.
Are you a worldly explorer, Rami?
I lived overseas for 15 years.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, see?
How about that? All right, so what is one of these world landmarks that is not overrated, since you're overrating all these things that we're bringing up?
I loved Rome. Are you going to Rome?
I am not going to Rome. Mm-hmm. I'm spending all my time by the water and grottos and boats and cappuccinos and cliffs.
That's better.
I got one for you. I haven't seen it. I don't necessarily know that I ever want to see it, but just looking at it and reading about it, it's amazing. The Great Wall of China.
Oh, yeah.
How about that landmark?
Great Wall of China.
How about Mount Rushmore?
Yes, Mount Rushmore. I was just laughing because I was thinking of something Eddie Scazzeri said a while back that I don't think I should repeat. But yes, the Great Wall of China. And the pictures look amazing. Now, I'm not going to go to China.
The Roman Colosseum was amazing. You know, seeing that.
Yeah, the Roman Colosseum. Yeah,
anything. How about going to Athens?
Oh, I'm sure that'd be cool. See that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's different. That's like so many, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Like,
I remember I was in a bar in Germany in Heidelberg. God, I wish I could remember the name of the bar. I think it dated back to 600.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It was crazy.
People were getting all messed up.
Yeah, Heidelberg didn't get bombed during World War II. I do not believe this. One of the reasons why you were able to see some of those things.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? There's a bar in the year 600.
I believe it was, yes.
Boomer, do you like the Grand Canyon?
Yes. But, you know, that's a natural monument.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking like Big Ben, Eiffel Tower.
Well, you're not talking about Stonehenge.
No. Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I guess the Great Wall of China. That would be one.
The Roman Colosseum.
Parthenon. Yeah. True.
The Great Wall of China.
Yeah, that'd be another one.
The pyramids.
Ooh, well, that can't be overrated. That's got to be. I mean, that's the thing.
They're not overrated.
No. That's where our conversation is.
Oh, I see.
Which one of these things are overrated? Because Rami's like, overrated. You hear him, Statue of Liberty, overrated. Eiffel Tower, overrated. What about Big Ben? Is that overrated?
Yes.
Have you seen the pyramids?
No, that I'd love to see.
Okay. Where'd you live?
Israel.
Okay. Look at that.
I was close enough. I didn't make it to Egypt.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were right there.
I could have drove, yeah.
Hop, skip, and a jump. Man. Yeah, like, right, like Fleegs is saying, like Baku to Tehran, like we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, it's not a place you want to go, especially after what was announced after we got off the air yesterday.
Yeah.
The hostage releases.
That is correct. The hostage releases. Yeah, that was big news yesterday. It's good to see them out. You got to make trades for bad people.
Yeah.
But it's good to see them out. All right,
it's kind of interesting watching the people on TV breaking down the trades.
Yeah,
in that regard,
right? Ken Rosenthal,
yeah,
Jeff Passan.
Who gets the A? Who gets the B?
It's amazing. Matt in Hampton Lake, what's going on, Matt?
Boomer and Geo, oh yeah,
what's happening, man?
What's up, guys? First time caller, huge fan of the show. I'm actually from Hampton Lake. Small mistake, no big deal.
Okay.
Just like to make a couple points. First of all, with the kickoff with special teams, I like how the NFL is actually re-engineering a rule in the system, because with these playoff overtime rules and these roughing the passer rules, it just becomes so convoluted and difficult to interpret. So I really want to see how it plays out. It remains to be seen, but I like that it's a re-engineering. Hopefully it makes the game more exciting. And just one more thing, I'd like to... Feel Good Friday. I'd like to wish a happy retirement to my stepfather, Don Burke. He is the father of Islanders play-by-play man, Brendan Burke.
Ooh.
And he's been a longtime sportsman, He worked the beat for the Yankees, the Mets, Nets, and he's a lovely man, a wonderful family man. He's my stepfather, and very proud of him, happy for his next chapter. He's moving to Delaware, just like all.
amazing!
Well, good job on your part, Matt. Yeah. Now you'll make the will.
Right? Yeah, great job, Matt.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why Brendan Burke was so thrilled to fill in on the Yankees, because his father brought him there when he was a young kid to the radio booth when he was covering the Yankees. So, yes, happy retirement is right.
Yes, you know, and it's interesting. You will not be here. When do you get back?
The Sunday, I want to say Sunday the 11th.
All right, so you're not going to be able to, you'll hear the replays of Craig
right.
and Susan.
Doing the Yankee games, yes.
Be interesting.
That's right. Which will be very interesting. And then the Tuesday, we're at Jets camp, is my first day back. So
okay.
Thrown right in. Like I said, I'm going to feel very worldly once I come back from this trip. So me and Aaron Rodgers can share that type of stuff. Be like, we're out of the country explorers.
And you're getting a lemon from God.
I'm going to bring back a lemon from God.
From God.
From Gad.
Yes.
And hand it to Aaron Rodgers. Be like, I got something you don't. You never got a lemon from God. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday in August.
The traffic home yesterday was one of the worst I've had all year. I think people took a little early weekend.
Thursdays become the much heavier traffic day in the summer than Friday.
I mean, the Merritt and the Hutch.
Oh, you were up to see
that whole
Gunner yesterday.
That whole, like, quagmire.
Snarl.
It is the worst.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's just that, you know, there's always a left lane that seems to be ending. You know, this lane ends in 700 feet. This lane ends in 700. I mean, it's just, it's nonstop. It's like all the merging and then all the lanes ending.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that you have to do construction. You have to do it in somewhat decent weather. But, you know, when you see these lanes closed for construction on a summer Thursday or Friday, you're like, eh.
You'd understand it more on a summer Monday.
Yeah.
Not a Thursday or a Friday. I agree.
Honestly, more on a summer, like on a summer Saturday makes more sense than a Thursday and Friday because people have already at their destination.
But, you know, the problem is sometimes for us coming out of here, if one of the three bridges is being worked on, everybody's getting pushed to another bridge. And then you get on the BQE, and then they got one of those lanes closed over there.
I've been on every, this week I've gone Midtown Tunnel, Manhattan Bridge, Williamsburg Bridge, and Brooklyn Bridge. Every day has been different.
That sounds awful.
Every day has been different.
See, I forget you guys have the reverse commute that we used to have in Jersey when we used to come from Astoria and have to get through and across the city to get the hell out of here. Now we're out and you guys got to get across the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not you fun.
I know it's not.
It's the quagmire.
I've driven out to Long Island a few times.
The amount of double parked trucks and cars in this city is incredible, but
the last 2 days, by the way, driving in, there have been two BMWs that have been racing, and it has to be the same two because it was the same time in the same area. I swear to God, they got to be going 140 miles an hour. I mean, I'm talking, one of them blew by me, and like I felt like the draft. I was like, what the hell? And then another one comes right after. I think they must race or something at that time of the morning on the LIE.
Or the cars are being stolen.
But it looked like the same two cars. That's what I thought originally.
Okay, yeah.
And then the next day in the same spot, they came by again. Maybe it was two different BMWs they stole.
Well, you got a break from that now for a week.
I do. Yes, I do. Don't have to worry about it. One more commute home, and that's it.
Look at you.
And that's it.
How excited are you for this trip?
I'm getting there. I always... it has to be in my face for me to get excited about
it.
That makes sense? Like, I can't... Like, so now, once this show is over, I'll be like, okay, now there it is. But, like, yesterday, the day before, I can't get excited about things until I know it's the next thing
I'm
doing.
Okay, did you get your new clothes?
No, I didn't buy anything new. No, I didn't.
Too bad.
I know. I figured, like, it's just, like, who cares? I'm not going to buy new clothes for Italy. I got enough stuff.
You can buy clothes there when you get there.
Yeah, that'll be nice and cheap, I'm sure.
By the way, when you guys were talking about the places to go, did you mention the pyramids or no?
Yes.
Okay,
we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You haven't been out there, have you? Egypt?
No, that's probably the only place that I really would like to see.
You would go to Egypt?
Yeah, I mean, I would be interested in that, yes. Mm. Very much so.
Nice.
Paris you can keep.
You can keep Paris.
I'm good.
I'm with that. I don't think I need to go to France. Mm. South of France, I don't know. Nice. Is that a place to go?
Yes.
South of France?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful place.
Cannes.
Monaco.
Yeah. I guess I could. But you know what? I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'll go to France.
Greece seems interesting, too.
Yeah. Let me just get through this one. For God's sakes.
Greece has a water shortage going on, and there's too many tourists right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of the heat and the water shortage.
Why would you know that?
I read it. Got to read, Jerry.
Yeah.
I do. I look at the post every morning when I come in.
I mean, I read other things.
Well, I don't have time to read other things.
Okay. Yeah. I read the post every morning where I find out that people get their intestines eaten by eels.
Yeah, how about that one? How would you know that?
Yeah, that's a rough one.
All right, Jerry, let's hear it, man.
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Town Fair Tire, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've been hearing about the kickoff rule. I'll just play it one more time. This is how it sounded on ESPN with Buck Aikman. The preseason underway in odd fashion with the way it looks.
Let's just watch this first one and see what happens.
Yeah, let's enjoy this one. We're hoping for a lot of these by the time the night's over. But you never know in these preseason games.
This one will be returned by Sims. And he's out to the 26, and that is it.
As he caught it in the landing area. Here was, has nothing to do with the game, but another one from Mike Tomlin about this new rule and this new kickoff.
There's some new skills being displayed in a lot of ways, particularly from a kicker's perspective, having to drop the ball in the landing zone and so forth. You know, we're really excited about the unforeseen in this concept.
I'm with you. You imagine if I would have told you that Mike Tomlin's going to be talking about dropping a ball in the landing zone in an NFL game.
No, it's just not.
Got to get
the
that
same.
Bad baby sponsored, man. The landing zone. Brought to you by Delta Airlines.
I'm sure someone's on that already.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Although I am surprised it wasn't there last night, because it would make sense for the landing zone to be sponsored by whoever to be put on the field, you know,
SpaceX.
With the graphics.
Landing zone brought to you by SpaceX. Elon Musk, get him involved.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking United or JetBlue, but sure, Elon Musk and that's SpaceX. Fine. SpaceX is fine, too. Here was Matt Eberflus seeing the new kickoff.
I said kickoff team wins today, right? I mean, they had the ball the 20 a couple times, maybe 26 a couple times. You know, so it was good by the cover teams. You know, I thought that the return team struggled a little bit staying on blocks, it looked like to me. I'll go back and look at the tape, but that's what I saw.
And by the way, bad weather stopped this game in the third quarter with the Bears up 21-17. And with that, the preseason underway. Giants open up next Thursday with the Lions. Another one from John Mara, who met the media yesterday, on, you know, more on why he believes in Shane and Dable in year three and now beyond.
Joe's process is so thorough. I think you saw a little bit of that in the show. But, I mean, the amount of work that they do in evaluating players, the amount of discussions that they have, it's a very hardworking group. I just have a lot of confidence. And, I mean, you know, they've both been a part of successful organizations. They know what it looks like.
Right, and hoping it's more success for the Giants. In terms of Daniel Jones and the contract, here was Mara.
I'm still happy we gave him that contract because I thought he played really well for us in 22. Last year he got hurt, and, you know, let's be honest, when he was playing, we weren't blocking anybody. So let's give him a chance with a better offensive line with some weapons around him to see what he can do.
Well, they signed two offensive linemen, and they're hoping that with Malik Nabers and maybe not so much with Saquon Barkley back in the backfield that they can do something. I mean, their offensive numbers were horrific last year. They gave up 85 sacks last season. Now, a lot of that is due to the fact that you're playing with backup quarterbacks and, you know, there are a lot of different reasons for that. But, man, I'll tell you, they were 31st in pass yards per game last year.
Do you remember their first drive, too, of the season?
Well, I remember they lost 40-0 to the Cowboys.
Yes, but do you remember that first drive was a thing of beauty?
Yeah, well, right down the field.
Until the blocked field goal returned for a touchdown the other way.
That's right, yep.
And everything went south from there.
pretty much. No, I've never heard about this. As long as we give Daniel Jones time, he's going to be great conversation.
Or that they need better offensive linemen.
Brand new.
Stop it with the offensive line.
I think Daniel Jones is in the same kind of boat that Justin Herbert's in the fact that he's had yet another offense. You know, how many offensive coaches you have, how many different systems you're running. You know, there's no consistency. And, you know, he's kind of lucky that he's still here, actually, given the fact that they were trying to trade up. So he has another shot, and this has got to be his year because they have certainly tended to trying to make it better around him.
They've given him every opportunity, or they are at least this year. You guys want to do something tonight?
What do you got?
A little family bet?
Sure.
Oh, family.
Yeah.
A family bet.
Are you in or out? It's part of the family.
And this makes no sense, which is why I love it.
Is this one of the transgender boxing matches?
No.
Oh, okay.
The White Sox to stop the losing streak tonight and go minus a run and a half to beat the Twins in Minnesota.
Why the hell do you think that's going to happen?
It's got to. And it makes zero sense. Post-trade deadline.
No, I'm not doing that.
Out? No way. I'm not going anywhere near the
White Sox. I told you, I mean, Jerry's hot. He's been hot.
Jerry, Gio said this morning that you said, when you were talking to yourself, that the Jets were going to the Super Bowl.
I think the Jets, yes. I think the Jets will be in the AFC title game, and I believe they will make it to the Super Bowl this year.
I had the Jets playing the Bengals at home in the divisional round game.
Okay.
Because I think the Bengals have a tougher schedule. They'll, you know, obviously the Jets are going to win the AFC East, I think. The Bills are going to be they're not going to be an easy out, but I think that the Jets, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy.
It's a big if.
They should be able to win this division.
I agree. I think they should be a 12 or 13 win team this year.
The White Sox, by the way, Fleegs is telling me, minus the run and a half, is plus 350.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, if it happens, I'm not going to talk to you about it because I'm going to be gone.
You'll be gone, and you'll be unplugged,
yeah,
and you won't know.
At the end of that.
That is very true. Jets play the Commanders next Saturday. Just a couple from Cowboys edge rusher Micah Parsons, just because I love the way he talks. They were asking him about his relationship with Trayvon Diggs yesterday. The two were tight.
Twite? Twite, like... Like a Twizzler.
Twizzler's Dwight.
Because I was about to say tight and quite at the same time. That's kind of like a Jazz Chisholm thing.
Yeah,
you say those two words. Say twite.
Or the Mohegan cunt.
You can't even say it. Say,
Jazz Chisholm.
Say tight and quite quickly together.
Tight, quite.
Again.
Tight, quite.
Five times.
Tight, quite. Tight, quite. Tight, quite.
Anyway, here's Micah. Oh, gosh. Where is it here? On Diggs.
You know, I think Trey's probably the most littest person I know. I never see him, like, upset. He's just like, I don't care. Like, I love life. He lives life to the fullest.
So he's the most littest. And then he uses the reference again.
I just envy how lit he is. Like, he really just doesn't care. He plays football, and that's it. Like, his life outside of football is just the craziest I've ever seen. Like, and to me, like, I'm like, man, how does this guy do it? Like, I was like, yo, you truly amaze me.
I would love to sit down. I love this guy, but I'd love to sit down and count the likes in his 11 minutes.
Yeah.
It might be 1,000.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Who's the littest amongst us?
Well, we know who isn't.
Yeah.
Probably. Al Dukes is not lit.
It's either you or me, I think. I think probably you. I think you're more lit.
Me?
Yeah, you're doing more stuff.
Lit.
Yeah, I think it's got to be you.
All right, dog.
I mean,
oh, God.
Jesus. Then I take that back.
Oh, funny. We got the Yankees and Blue Jays tonight. Marcus Stroman facing Kevin Gausman on The Fan. The Yankees now tied with the Orioles for first place in the AL East. We did get our answer on Paul Blackburn.
Yeah.
He did not travel. Fliegelman found a post from him saying he can't wait to meet his teammates today.
Also had Rich Ackerman text me.
Okay.
And Joey from Yonkers.
So Joey from Yonkers.
Everybody's locked in. He
Look
stayed out there.
So Joey from Yonkers has your cell number. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
He was a good dude. I didn't realize.
No, he's great.
Nice.
So what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so they're going to meet his teammates for the first time ever.
Correct.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Paul Blackburn. I'm pitching for you guys tonight.
Yeah. That's got to be a weird one, too, to meet them for the first time and get the start. You know Manaea, obviously, but you don't know a lot of the other guys. What if you go out there and you just suck your first night?
Yeah.
Be like,
everybody's talking behind your back.
Really?
God.
Like Mark Leiter showed up in Philadelphia the other day and hours later was put into, I forget, I think it was the eighth inning that first game he pitched. What if he goes out there and just gives up the game? Tough
Wouldn't
spot.
Be good. Be like, listen, we were on a roll until your ass got here. That's what they're going to say.
You very well could. That's right. And Katie Ledecky won the silver in the 4x200 meter relay, 13th career Olympic medal. You got all the golf going on right now. I think the men's soccer team is underway and playing now, too. So another busy day at the Olympics in Paris. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly.
No!
Could have gone in a couple of different directions. I went the Mike and the Mad Dog route as G was reliving the old win-loss game.
The best part to me about win-loss was when Dog would present the games to Mike in the way that he would just like rattle off silly things. All right, open up Vikings, JJ McCarthy. It looks like a total bust. Sam Donald's out there. He stinks. You got Jordan Addison, DUI. Vikings at Giants. Win. You know? Like, that's what he would do.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. You got down there, Commanders. Dan Snyder's out of there. He's not taking pictures of cheerleaders anymore. You got Dan Quinn there. I mean, that guy feels like an idiot. I don't understand. He got another job. Blew to the Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels could be RG3 2.0. Giants at Commanders.
It's a win.
Deshaun Watson, total pervert. Got 75 lawsuits against them. But Myles Garrett, very good. Cleveland, not going to be that cold out September 22nd. They got a break there. Got a break there in September. Probably be a nice 72 degrees. Giants at Browns.
You did that so perfectly.
That's he what they do.
Out of his mind.
I know, but that's how I would know, present
would
these
find
games.
The most random things.
Right.
You actually brought back a lot of memories doing that. Yeah. There you go. Moment of the day. Enjoy your trip.
All right. Thank you, Trips. Jerry. Yes, we will. We'll see you next. Well, week after next. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, feel good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Some baseball tonight. It's amazing when these teams don't play for one night. It feels like they're off for a week. But we're going to see in both them two getaway days. So it really feels like a long break for them. But we are both going on trips, and when we come back, I don't want to see a horrible week of baseball from either one of these teams. I want to come back and be at Jets camp on that Tuesday saying, man, look at this. The Mets are 11 games over 500. The Yankees are still the hottest team in baseball. I can't believe it. Man, I tell you, DJ LeMahieu's he put together a full week of hitting the baseball. The Mets bullpen is pitching better than it's ever been. That's what I want to be talking about, man, because these two teams right now are this is the metal meets the meat, rubber meets the road. This is August, baby. August and September baseball.
Stretch run, baby. Yeah. And this is the final third of the season. What, do we got about 62 games to go here? And
a little less now, I think.
Yeah, I think the Yankees, what are they? They're 65 and 45, right?
Yeah, sure.
So 52 games left.
Yeah. Well,
so there you go. So yeah, I mean, this is it. This is where, you know, hopefully when we come back, they're still very much in the mix. And you know, I wonder, like, one of these injured guys coming back, like Rizzo coming back, one of Starling Marte coming back. I mean, there's still guys that have to be a part of the team or should be a part of the team once they get off the injured list. But it'll be interesting to see where they are now. You know, Toronto Blue Jays, they sold. They're not the same team, but it is baseball. But the Yankees should be able to, they have to win this series, if not sweep the series, and keep this winning streak going.
Yeah, baseball, weird sport. Anything
weird
can happen.
Weird sport, yes, I know.
Anything can happen. So that first day back at Jets camp, so it's funny, Al came up to me and asked, he goes, out of the obvious, he goes, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Rob Saleh, Joe Douglas. Give me a couple of guys. That
Breece Hall,
all right. Breece Hall was one.
I love Mosley too. You know, we saw Mosley at the Breitling event.
Yeah, no, he's good. I mean, he's a little. Yeah, he's a good interview, but he's not all that interesting.
I like him because he is by far the elder statesman on that defense. He is the leader.
True.
How about Quinnen Williams?
I gave him Quinnen Williams. I said Quinnen Williams because I think
he'd
be
Quincy
fun.
Williams.
Yeah, I don't know his personality as much as, I mean, Quincy Williams could have been their best defensive player last year.
Right.
He played that well.
Exactly.
No, I gave him Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yeah, okay, good.
I gave him Quinnen Williams.
Yep.
And I gave him Tyron Smith.
That'd be a good one.
Some
fresh blood. You know what it is?
New blood.
You know what it is? It's fresh blood.
Fresh legs.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. A little fresh leg spot. Do you think that
I saw Aaron Rodgers with Kay Adams. He was very animated and very engaged with her.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah.
They talked about you?
What, Kay Adams and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two very awkward interactions I had with both of them.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Aaron, I really hope that me talking about how awkward that interview was doesn't affect his ability to come on this year with us, because that would be silly. Because I wasn't ripping him.
Just hope he doesn't get caught in traffic.
I wasn't ripping him. I was just, the whole circumstance was just the way that it was. He wasn't in the mood to talk that day because he was stuck in traffic, which I totally understand. And every fun thing we tried to throw at him didn't work. So, I mean, I wasn't saying he was a problem. It was just that whole interview just was a bad timing. But, I had the Aaron Rodgers awkwardness last year at camp. And then the Kay Adams honked my man boob down at the Super Bowl in Scottsdale, Phoenix.
Yes.
Yep. So,
I mean, so I just wondered if you thought maybe the Kay said to Aaron, hey, I honked his man boob, but maybe that's why he's a little off these days or something.
No, yeah, probably said, hey, I saw that New York Post article about how you know, Boomer and Gio thought it was a very awkward, or Gio, because you weren't here.
Yeah.
Gio thought that was a very, very awkward interview, the most awkward 18 minutes of the program's ever had.
Have you ever noticed that when I am away and I'm out and you're here,
yeah,
and whoever you're doing it with, there's always seems to be a problem?
I don't look at it as a problem.
Well, there's always an issue that arises somehow, and I don't know why that is. Like, whether it be the JR Sports Minute.
Well, that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, but I wasn't here, but you were here, and then you got this whole thing with Stu Gatz going on, and he's trying to, you know, torpedo the station.
Right.
You had the whole discussion about Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a part of any of that.
You weren't a part of any of it. No, but
I wasn't a part of the, you know, Kay Adams grabbing your man boob.
You were.
Well,
you were there.
You brought it up to me, but
yeah, I know. But you were there.
But I wasn't there to see it.
You were there to talk about it.
Yeah, well,
we tried to get her on and everything.
Talk about the Aaron Rodgers interview too after the fact. But it always seems to happen when I'm not here.
Well, I got to step up the game when you're not here. Got to make some headlines. You know,
hey,
that's what I do.
You guys do a hell of a job with.
You're my
muffler,
mooring. You know,
I'm a mooring.
Yeah. So, like, I tie myself to you when you're here, and I can't go too far.
Okay.
But then when you're gone, I just go out
you're
to sea.
You're out there.
I go out to sea. You never know. Never know what's going to happen. So, the whole honking of the man boob thing was interesting. If people don't remember, that was a couple years ago now, about a year and a half. So, her show, I was with my buddy Andrew Filippone, who had done a ton of stuff with FanDuel and her.
I got sick that day. In Arizona. That's why I wasn't on the radio with you.
No, you were there when we talked about it. I'm telling you.
We did talk about it, but when it happened, I was out that day.
All right. So we're walking past the set. He goes, I'm going to say hi to Kay Adams. You ever met Kay Adams? No, I haven't met Kay Adams. And her show had a tequila sponsor that was not Casamigos. And I had the Casamigos logo on my sweatshirt that day. And it was right over here on this part of my shirt. Right above what should be a pectoral muscle, but is generally just essentially like a bowl of milk. So she...
That's a sour cream.
Right. So she goes, oh, you can't wear that around here. And then slapped her hand on the logo and then went fronk, fronk.
Okay.
Just like that. I was all like, whoa. What's going on here?
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the day that I was sick.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
remember I was hurling in the
you were norovirus, and you gave it to my daughter, who then ended up getting it on the plane. She was puking into plastic bags for 5 hours. It was awesome. Memory,
yeah,
like the corners.
Wait, that comes up on your iPhone?
No. Yeah, I wasn't taking any pictures of that. But she was a trooper, though, Sabrina. Like, she just didn't even complain or cry. She would just go like point at her mouth. Yeah, and like, okay, here we go. Blah. And nobody complained either, which is amazing.
You can't complain when a kid is sick.
And it's like, you know, you get on a plane, they get sick on the plane. Like, we didn't know that was going to happen. Ugh. Yeah. Imagine. imagine if that was the flight we took back from Vegas with everybody on the show. And oh, Sabrina God. Was doing that and Al was in there. He would have jumped out.
I think he would have.
I think he would have ended it right there.
He just he's kind of afraid of any sort of norovirus, virus type of
thing. I mean, all of us are. No one wants
nobody
that.
Nobody wants it.
God, it's the worst.
You can't live your life in a bubble.
No. No, we do not. Al does. We do not.
You know, it's interesting, throughout the whole COVID thing with the masks and all that, everything. Mm. When Gunnar was diagnosed with CF, we always said that, you know, we were not going to raise him in a bubble. He had to have what he needed in his life in order to be as grounded a human being as possible.
Sure.
And to have all the opportunities that life offers as opposed to keeping him in a bubble.
Exactly.
And with that came risks.
Mm-hmm.
And with that came sometimes battles that, you know, unfortunately he had to deal with.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he became a better person because of it.
Absolutely. I mean, there was, you know, scary times, as you told me, in high school when he was sick.
And, yeah.
You know, but he had a high school experience.
But you got to let him live. They got to live. They got to be able to live. Yes.
Right.
So that's the thing I was talking about, Al. Like, sometimes live. Al just doesn't live.
No, he doesn't live.
Doesn't live, damn it.
No, he doesn't. Although he did go on a Bahamian vacation.
He did?
Was it Bahamas? No, it was
Bermuda.
Bermuda.
Oh, good for him.
He went to Bermuda on a cruise. Can you believe that? I mean,
live. Live, damn it.
He left out of here in New York?
No, like Bayonne, I think.
Oh, Bayonne.
Yeah.
Bayonne to Bermuda.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a 3-day cruise or 4-day cruise or something.
I don't know. But him in that situation.
Oh, he had to do fine with that.
He said he was going to try to have lots of beers to like quell his uptightness.
Okay.
You know?
Good thing he didn't have a hurricane coming.
Right,
that's the thing this time of year, man. You start thinking about that part of the world.
Yeah, trust me, I understand. To August and September especially, but
and into October too.
Oh, that would have been amazing if he was out there in the middle of a hurricane with a cruise ship.
I told you I didn't want to do this. I told you I knew we were going to hit with a hurricane. God
so
damn. All
right, so we're going to miss what, 8 games between the Mets and the Yankees. So over that 8-game period, now both teams got to go 6-2.
How about that?
I will not settle for anything other than 16-0.
Okay,
combined.
Okay,
I will not settle for anything. That's the standard. When we leave here on this Friday, we need a 16-0 combined record with the Mets and the Yankees. What do you think the percentage of that is?
Not very good.
Do you think? I mean, it's got to be at least
very low.
2%.
2%.
2%. 3%.
At most.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, feel good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Some baseball tonight. It's amazing when these teams don't play for one night. It feels like they're off for a week. But we're going to see in both them two getaway days. So it really feels like a long break for them. But we are both going on trips, and when we come back, I don't want to see a horrible week of baseball from either one of these teams. I want to come back and be at Jets camp on that Tuesday saying, man, look at this. The Mets are 11 games over 500. The Yankees are still the hottest team in baseball. I can't believe it. Man, I tell you, DJ LeMahieu's he put together a full week of hitting the baseball. The Mets bullpen is pitching better than it's ever been. That's what I want to be talking about, man, because these two teams right now are this is the metal meets the meat, rubber meets the road. This is August, baby. August and September baseball.
Stretch run, baby. Yeah. And this is the final third of the season. What do we got, about 62 games to go here? And
a little less now, I think.
Yeah, I think the Yankees, what are they? They're 65-45, right?
Yeah, sure.
So 52 games left.
Yeah. Well,
so there you go. So yeah, I mean, this is it. This is where, you know, hopefully when we come back, they're still very much in the mix. And you know, I'm wondering, like, one of these injured guys coming back, like Rizzo coming back, one of Starling Marte coming back. Mm. I mean, there's still guys that have to be a part of the team or should be a part of the team once they get off the injured list. But it'll be interesting to see where they are now. You know, Toronto Blue Jays, they sold. They're not the same team, but it is baseball. But the Yankees should be able to, they have to win this series, if not sweep the series, and keep this winning streak going.
Yeah, baseball, weird sport. Anything
weird
can happen.
Sport, yes, I know.
Anything can happen. So that first day back at Jets camp, so it's funny, Al came up to me and asked, he goes, out of the obvious, he goes, Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner, Rob Saleh, Joe Douglas. Give me a couple of guys that
Breece Hall.
All right. Breece Hall was one.
I love Mosley too. You know, we saw Mosley at the Breitling event.
Yeah, no, he's good. I mean, he's a little, yeah, he's a good interview, but he's not all that interesting.
I like him because he is by far the elder statesman on that defense. He is the leader.
True.
How about Quinnen Williams?
I gave him Quinnen Williams. I said Quinnen Williams because I think he'd be
Quincy
fun.
Quincy Williams?
Yeah, I don't know him, his personality as much. I mean, Quincy Williams could have been their best defensive player last year.
Right.
He played that well.
Exactly.
No, I gave him Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, yeah, okay, good.
I gave him Quinnen Williams.
Yep.
And I gave him Tyron Smith.
That'd be a good one.
Some
fresh blood. You know what it is?
New blood.
You know what it is? It's fresh blood.
Fresh legs.
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, a little fresh leg spot. Do you think that
I saw Aaron Rodgers with Kay Adams. He was very animated and very engaged with her.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No,
they talked about you?
What, Kay Adams and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two very awkward interactions I had with both of them.
Exactly.
Because, you know, Aaron, I really hope that me talking about how awkward that interview was doesn't affect his ability to come on this year with us, because that would be silly. Because I wasn't ripping him.
Just hope he doesn't get caught in traffic.
I wasn't ripping him. I was just, the whole circumstance was just the way that it was. He wasn't in the mood to talk that day because he was stuck in traffic, which I totally understand. And every fun thing we tried to throw at him didn't work. So, I mean, I wasn't saying he was a problem. It was just that whole interview just was a bad timing. But, I had the Aaron Rodgers awkwardness last year at camp, and then the Kay Adams honked my man boob down at the Super Bowl in Scottsdale, Phoenix.
Yes.
Yep. So,
I mean, so I just wondered if you thought maybe the Kay said to Aaron, hey, I honked his man boob, but maybe that's why he's a little off these days or something.
No, yeah, probably said, hey, I saw that New York Post article about how you know, Boomer and Gio thought it was a very awkward, or Gio, because you weren't here.
Yeah.
Gio thought that was a very, very awkward interview. The most awkward 18 minutes of the program's ever had.
Have you ever noticed that when I am away and I'm out and you're here,
yeah,
and whoever you're doing it with, there's always seems to be a problem?
I don't look at it as a problem.
Well, there's always an issue that arises somehow, and I don't know why that is. Like, whether it be the JR Sports Minute.
Well, that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, but I wasn't here, but yeah. You were here, and then yeah. You got this whole thing with Stu Gotts going on, and he's trying to, you know, torpedo the station.
Right, right, right.
You had the whole discussion about Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a part of any of that.
You weren't a part of any of it. No, but
I wasn't a part of the, you know, Kay Adams grabbing your man boob.
You were.
Well,
you were there.
You brought it up to me, but
yeah,
I
know. But you were there. Don't try to run away from that one.
But I wasn't there to see it.
You were there to talk about it.
Yeah, well,
we tried to get her on and everything.
Talk about the Aaron Rodgers interview too after the fact, but it always seems to happen when I'm not here.
Well, I got to step up the game when you're not here. Got to make some headlines. You know,
hey,
that's what I do.
These guys do a hell of a job with
you.
It,
let me.
I'll tell you that.
You're my
muffler
mooring. You know,
I'm a mooring.
Yeah. So like I tie myself to you when you're here, and I can't go too far.
Okay.
But then when you're gone, I just go out.
You're
to
out
sea.
There, and you're.
I go out to sea. You never know. Never know what's going to happen. So that's that. Yeah, the whole honking of the man boob thing was interesting. If people don't remember that, it was a couple of years ago now, about a year and a half. So her show, I was with my buddy Andrew Filippone, who had done a ton of stuff with FanDuel and her.
I got sick that day in Arizona. That's why I wasn't on the radio with you.
No, you were there when we talked about it. I'm telling you.
We did talk about it, but when it happened, okay, I was out that day.
All right. So we're walking past the set. He goes, oh, I'm going to say hi to Kay Adams. You ever met Kay Adams? No, I haven't met Kay Adams. And her show had a tequila sponsor that was not Casamigos. And I had the Casamigos logo on my sweatshirt that day. And it was right over here on this part of my shirt. Right above what should be a pectoral muscle, but is generally just essentially like a bowl of milk. So she...
That's a sour cream.
Right. So she goes, oh, you can't wear that around here. And then slapped her hand on the logo and then went, frunk, frunk.
Okay.
Just like that. I was all like, right. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. going on here?
It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the day that I was sick.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Remember I was hurling in the...
You were. Norovirus. And you gave it to my daughter, who then ended up getting it on the plane. She was puking into plastic bags for 5 hours. It was awesome. Memory.
Yeah.
Like the corners.
Wait, that comes up on your iPhone.
Yeah, I wasn't taking any pictures of that. But she was a trooper, though, Sabrina. Like, she just didn't even, she didn't complain or cry. She would just go, like, point at her mouth. Yeah. Like, okay, here we go. And nobody complained either, which is amazing.
You can't complain when a kid is sick.
And it's like, you know, you get on the plane, they get sick on the plane. Like, we didn't know that was going to happen. Ugh. Yeah. Imagine if that was the flight we took back from Vegas with everybody on the show. And
oh,
Sabrina
God.
Was doing that and Al was in there. He would have jumped out.
I think he would have.
I think he would have ended it right there.
Oh. He's kind of afraid of any sort of norovirus type of thing.
I mean, all of us are. No one wants
that. Nobody wants it.
God, it's the worst.
You can't live your life in a bubble.
No. No, we do not. Al does. We do not.
You know, it's interesting, throughout the whole COVID thing with the masks and all that, everything. Mm. When Gunnar was diagnosed with CF, we always said that, you know, we were not going to raise him in a bubble. Like,
yeah.
He had to have what he needed in his life in order to be as grounded a human being as possible.
Sure.
And to have all the opportunities that life offers, as opposed to keeping him in a bubble.
Exactly.
And with that came risks.
Mm-hmm.
And with that came sometimes battles that, you know, unfortunately he had to deal with.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he became a better person because of it.
Absolutely. I mean, there was, you know, scary times, as you told me, in high school when he was sick.
And, yeah.
You know, but he had a high school experience.
But you got to let him live. They got to live. They got to be able to live. Yes.
Right.
So that's the thing I was talking about Al. Like, sometimes live. Al just doesn't live.
No, he doesn't live.
Doesn't live, damn it.
No, he doesn't. Although he did go on a Bahamian vacation.
He did?
Was it Bahamas? No, it was
Bermuda.
Bermuda.
Well, good for him.
He went to Bermuda on a cruise. Can you believe that? I mean,
live. Live, damn it.
He left out of here in New York?
No, like Bayonne, I think.
Oh, Bayonne.
Yeah.
Bayonne to Bermuda.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a 3-day cruise or 4-day cruise or something.
I don't know. But him in that situation.
Oh, he had to do fine with that.
He said he was going to try to have lots of beers to like quell his uptightness.
Okay.
You know?
Good thing he didn't have a hurricane coming.
Right, that's the
thing this time of year, man. You start thinking about that part of the world.
Yeah, trust me, I understand. Into August and September especially, but
and into October too.
Oh, that would have been amazing if he was out there in the middle of a hurricane with a cruise ship.
I told you I didn't want to do this. I told you I knew we were going to hit with a hurricane. God
so all right, so we're going to miss what, 8 games between the Mets and the Yankees. So over that 8-game period, now both teams got to go 6-2.
How about that? I will not settle for anything other than 16-0.
Okay.
Combined.
Okay.
I will not settle for anything. That's the standard. When we leave here on this Friday, we need a 16-0 combined record with the Mets and the Yankees.
Alrighty.
What do you think the percentage of that is?
Not very good.
Do you think, I mean, it's got to be at least
very low.
2%?
2%.
2%, 3%?
At most.